Before you dial a single number, you need three things straight: what you're selling, what it costs, and how you're trained to sell it. This chapter is the map. Everything that comes after it fills in one piece of what we're about to lay out right now: the product, the price, and the two blended methods that carry you from a stranger picking up the phone all the way to a booked demo on the calendar. Let's start with what EdenOS actually is. Eden is an AI office from Stay Elite. Two AI agents named Adam and Eve answer every call, every text, and every email in a company's own name, and they finish the request right there on the spot. They book it, they quote it, they reschedule it, or they answer it outright. Eden replaces the desk, not the hands. The crew still does the field work. Eden does the office work. The sales, the scheduling, the quotes, the follow-up, the records, the reviews, and a morning briefing every day. The office never closes, so a call that comes in at 11 at night gets the same answer as one that comes in at 9 in the morning. Eden is built for local service companies. Think HVAC, plumbing, electrical, roofing, and exteriors, plus dental, veterinary, and med spa practices. And really any office where one coordinator is doing the work of four people. Now, who are Adam and Eve? Adam is the outbound agent. He works old quotes, lapsed customers, and maintenance renewals. He reopens quotes that went quiet and books the next step himself. He even runs the entire onboarding interview on his own, with no human implementer involved anywhere in that process. And he chases suppliers and approvals by phone and email. Eve is the inbound agent. She answers calls and texts on the first ring any hour of the day or night, logs the issue, books the first available window, and texts back a confirmation. The short version of it, straight from the brand itself, is this: Eve picks up, Adam follows up. A buyer can run Eve on inbound only, Adam on outbound only, or one agent covering everything. Either way, they share a single schedule and a single customer history. And both of them always disclose that they're AI whenever anyone asks. Neither one ever claims to be a human employee. They can even talk agent to agent when a customer's own AI assistant is the one placing the call. Everything I just told you comes straight from the brand material itself. Anything beyond that, headcount, specific integrations, the technical architecture underneath it, nobody's told us that, so it stays out of your calls entirely. Now let's talk price, because you need to say this number without flinching. Eden, one office, rents $25,000 a month. That's $300,000 a year. And it's published right on the website, and it does not move. It's the price. It does not move. Onboarding runs separately, and it's typically $50,000 to $150,000 for a company with real history behind it, and that gets quoted before any card ever gets charged. You will never discount this number. You will never apologize for it. You will never soften it. Instead, every single call you make is working toward one thing that costs the prospect absolutely nothing: a live demo. The offer is simple. Hear your phones answered. Adam puts a demo phone number in the prospect's own company name, and the owner calls it just like one of their own customers would. That demo is free. Your job on every call, every time, is to book that 15-minute look, not to sell the $25,000 itself. That one distinction is the whole job. Everything else in this book is training you to do exactly that. So how do you actually get someone from picking up the phone to booking that look? This course blends two proven approaches into a single call flow, and you'll spend the rest of this book learning to run them together. The first method treats selling as a listening skill wearing a talking costume. Instead of pitching, you walk the prospect through a sequence of question types, and by the time you're ready to present anything, they've already told you in their own words why they need what you're selling. There are five stages to this sequence. It opens with connection. That's the first 7 to 12 seconds of the call, where you stay calm, neutral, little detached, so the prospect doesn't throw up a wall. And you frame the call as something simple and low stakes. From there, you move into engagement, and this is where most of the real selling actually happens. You ask how they run things now. You dig for the real problems, and what those problems are actually costing them personally. You get them picturing what life looks like once it's fixed. You ask what happens if nothing changes. and you confirm out loud how important the change is to them right now. A short transition bridges you into what's next, echoing back their own words and their own emotions so they hear themselves in what you say. Only then do you present, and only to the problems they actually name. In a tight shape, here's the problem, here's how we solve it. Here's what that means for you, checking for agreement the whole way through. And the call closes with commitment. Direct questions that ask them to say out loud whether this could be the answer for them, followed by one specific next step. Tone matters just as much as the words do. Your default is curious, slow, unhurried, genuinely interested. You shift to confused when an answer doesn't quite add up, because a puzzled only two makes the prospect explain themselves. And that's usually when the real issue surfaces. You go concerned when you're asking about impact, because that signals you actually care about the outcome, not just the sale. You save a firmer, more challenging tone for late in the call when you're asking what happens if nothing changes. And you end your important questions on a downswing, not an upswing, a calm statement, not a hopeful little plea. A later chapter walks you through every one of these stages and every one of these tones in full detail, with Eden-specific examples for every vertical you'll be calling. The second method is a set of closing rules plus a deep arsenal of specific closes. And this is the discipline that actually gets you from, well, that was a good conversation, to a real slot sitting on the calendar. The core mindset is this: no close means no exchange, means no value. So the conversation isn't actually finished until you've asked for the demo. Every objection gets treated as a complaint to work through, never as a wall that stops you. I'm busy, it's just weather talk, not a no. You are always the only barrier in the room. If a demo doesn't get booked, you look at what you did, not at the prospect. You agree first, every single time, before you ever redirect the conversation, because agreement lowers resistance and reopens the door. And you asked more than once. Most people say yes after several attempts, and most reps quit after way too few. A rep who's built up a deep bench at different closes always has one more way to ask that doesn't feel like repeating themselves. A later chapter hands you a full working set of these closes: assumptive scheduling, summary closes, cost of waiting closes, and a complete playbook for price and budget pushback, all of it adapted specifically to booking the Eden demo and never used to sell the $25,000 price itself on the cold call. So here's how the two fit together. The question that method gets the prospect talking and surfaces their own reason to care. The closing rules make sure that once they've told you that reason, you actually ask for the appointment more than once, without arguing and without ever budging on price. Neither one works alone on this floor. Questions without a close is just a nice conversation that goes nowhere, and a close without questions is just pressure with nothing behind it. Every module from here forward is going to train one piece of that blend until it's automatic. Let's talk about what this job actually is, because almost nobody explains it to you honestly before you pick up the phone for the first time. You are not calling business owners to trick them into buying something they don't need. You are calling to find out whether they have a problem you can solve. Most of them won't, some of them will. And those are the only conversations that actually matter. That one distinction is the whole job. If you walk in believing you have to convince every single person on your list, you will burn out in about 3 weeks, and you will sound desperate on every call you make because you are trying to force something that isn't there. But if you walk in believing you are sorting through a list to find a small number of people who already have the problem, you stay calm. You sound normal. And strange as it sounds, you close more deals that way, not fewer. So here is the one sentence that changes everything, and it's worth remembering before every shift. You are not trying to make someone want this. You're trying to find someone who already has the problem this solves. Your job is simply to find them faster than the next rep does. Now let's talk about the numbers, because nobody tells new reps this, and it is exactly why so many people quit in their first month. Here's what a normal day actually looks like. Not a fantasy day. Not the day your sales manager describes in a hike meeting, but the real one. Most of your dials are going to end in no answer, a voicemail, or a deadline. That's normal. It means nothing about you as a rep. Of the calls that do connect, A large share of those are going to get blocked by a gatekeeper, a receptionist, a spouse, an office manager standing between you and the decision maker. Of the calls that get past that gatekeeper, only a small fraction actually reach the person who can say yes. And of those decision makers you do reach, only a fraction give you real time to talk. Out of all that, only a small number of calls per day, even on a day of solid dialing, actually turn into a real opportunity. Read that again because it matters. On a good day, most of your calls are going to end in nothing. That is not failure. That is simply the shape of this work. The reps who make it are the ones who understood that on day one and stopped taking it personally. And that leads to something else worth saying directly. The rejection is not about you. The person who snapped at you on the phone was already having a bad day before your name ever showed up on their caller ID. You are probably the fourth cold call they've taken that morning. Their reaction's about the first three calls. It's about whatever their supplier just did to them. It's about the meeting they're already late for. It is almost never about you, and it is never ever about where you're calling from. Keep that in your back pocket, because you will need it by about 10 in the morning most days. Now, what separates the good reps from the bad ones? There are really three things. First, good reps ask more than they tell. Bad reps talk and talk and fill every silence with more words. Good reps ask a question and then they shut up. That silence is going to feel like an eternity to you. It will feel like 2 seconds to the person on the other end of the line. Learn to sit in it without rescuing them from it. Second, good reps sound like an actual human being. The moment you sound like you're reading off a script, you get screened out instantly because everyone can hear it. The moment you sound like a person having a real conversation, you get given time. So know your material well enough that you can stop performing it and just talk. Third, and maybe most important, good reps reset between every single call. 90% of your calls are going to end in no. If call number 11 gets all the bitterness you built up from calls 1 through 10, you have no chance on that call. Every single call has to start clean, like it's the first one of the day. So what does success actually look like in your first week? Because it is not closing the deal on day one. Nobody does that, and if someone tells you they did, don't measure yourself against it. On days one and two, your only goal is getting comfortable saying your opener out loud without reading it off a page, and surviving getting hung up on. Because you will get hung up on. By days 3 through 5, aim to get past the gatekeeper at least once, and have one real conversation with an actual decision maker. Even if that conversation goes absolutely nowhere. By week 2, you should be able to ask all 4 of your discovery questions on a live call without losing your place. And by weeks 3 and 4, you should be able to handle an objection without freezing up and actually ask for the appointment out loud instead of hoping the prospect offers it to you. Now let's bring all of that home to what you're actually doing on this desk, calling service business owners about EdenOS. You're not calling to convince anyone that AI is the future. You are calling to find the handful of owners who are already drowning, missed calls piling up, no-shows costing them money, a front desk person who just quit and left them exposed. Most of the people you dial are not that owner today, and that's completely fine. Your job is to sort, not to sell everyone. The numbers apply to you exactly the same way. A voicemail is not a rejection. A gatekeeper, and on these calls, that's often the spouse, an office manager, or someone answering the shop phone, isn't a wall to bulldoze. It's a filter you learn to get past with courtesy, because that very person might be the one drowning in the calls he would be answering for them. When you finally reach the owner, you're not cold pitching a $25,000 a month product out of nowhere. You're asking one or two real questions about how many calls they miss on a job site, or how many bookings they lose after hours. If that pain is real, the price becomes a detail worth discussing, not an objection to fight through. If the pain isn't there yet, thank them for their time and move to the next name. That's a correct outcome, not a failure on your part. And the three traits that separate good reps from bad ones map directly onto this desk. Let the owner describe their own problem in their own words instead of reciting Adam's feature list at them. Sound like someone who's actually run a small business, not like someone reading a script about artificial intelligence. and reset hard after every call. Because the contractor who barked not interested and hung up on you did the exact same thing to the last three people who called him this morning. It was never about Eden OS, and it was never about you. Offer the free demo, quantumtostayelite.com, and dial the next number clean. Everything in this chapter happens before your first call of the day, and skipping it is the most common reason a new rep's morning falls apart. Give yourself a real 10-minute setup, not a rushed glance at a spreadsheet. Start by knowing who you're calling. You need the company name, roughly what they do, roughly how big they are, and the decision maker's name if you have it. 60 seconds per account is enough. You are not writing a report, you're just orienting yourself so you don't sound lost in the first 5 seconds. Next, know your one-liner cold. If you can't say what Eden OS does in one sentence without notes, you are not ready to dial. Write it out and say it out loud 10 times before you touch the dollar. Something like this. Eden OS is an AI office for service businesses. Adam handles your outbound calls and follow-up. Eve handles everything coming in, and together they never miss a lead. Set up your physical space too. Keep water within reach. Make sure your headset actually works. Keep your notes visible without shuffling papers. And don't put anything on screen that tempts you to read it word for word. Reading has a sound, and everyone on the other end of the line can hear it. Warm up your voice before you take a real call. The first call of the day is always the worst one, so do it deliberately. Dial a low priority account first so the rust comes off somewhere that doesn't matter. And set one number for the day. Not close a deal. That's an outcome, and you don't control outcome. Set something like reach 4 decision makers or get 3 callback times. You control activity, and activity is what you should be measuring yourself against. Now here's the part that matters most on a cold call. Your voice is the entire product. The person on the other end cannot see you. They cannot see your office, your face, or how hard you're working. Everything they decide about you happens in the first 4 seconds, and it's built entirely out of sound. So a few things to do, deliberately, every single call. Speak slightly slower than feels natural. Nervous reps speed up without realizing it, and speed reads as salesperson. It reads as low confidence, even when you're saying something confident. Drop your pitch slightly at the end of your sentences. A rising sing-song ending is the single biggest telemarketer tell there is. Statements should land. They shouldn't flood up in the air like a question. Smile before they pick up the phone. This sounds like nonsense, and it is measurably true. Smiling physically changes the shape of your voice, and people can hear it, even though they can't see it. Sit up, or better yet, stand while you're on the call. Slouching compresses your breathing, and that flattens your voice out. Pause after you ask your question. If you feel your own silence, you're telling the other person you don't actually expect them to answer. And it undercuts the whole point of asking. And use their name once, maybe twice during the call. Not more than that. Once is warm and personal, 5 times starts to sound like a script, and it breaks the spell. Before you dial, you should have a single card in front of you, not a script to read from, just 5 things you can see without looking down. Your opener, in your own words. Your one sentence description of what you do, your 4 discovery questions. Your ask, the specific next step you actually want out of this call, and 3 objection responses, the ones you personally keep forgetting under pressure. A quick note on scripts in general, you'll be given scripted language throughout this training. Learn it, then stop reading it. A script is training wheels. It teaches you the shape of a good call, but a rep who's still reading it word for word in month 2 will never get past a competent gatekeeper, because reading has a sound, and everyone can hear it. Now here's how that card looks specifically for an Eden OS call, because a generic setup isn't enough when you're calling a service business owner. Before you dial, write down the 5 pain points you're listening for, in your own words. Missed calls after hours. Leads going cold because nobody followed up fast enough. A scheduling mess that eats the owner's evenings. No shows that nobody ever chased down. And a front desk that's stretched too thin to actually sell anything while it's busy answering phones. You don't need to hear all 5 on one call. You need to recognize which ones fit the business the moment the owner mentions them, so you can speak directly to their actual problem instead of a generic pitch. Next, write the price down exactly once, in one clean sentence, so you never fumble it live on the call. Say it like this: Eden OS runs $25,000 a month. That's Adam and Eve, your AI office, working every call, every lead, every day. Say that plainly. Don't apologize for the number. Don't rush past it like you're embarrassed. Confidence in the price is part of what sells the price. And last, write your demo handoff line, because this is your actual ask for the call, the specific next step we talked about a minute ago. It should sound something like this: I'm not going to try to sell you on the phone. Go to stayelite.com right now, or right after we hang up, and book the free demo. You'll see Adam and Eve running before you ever spend a dollar. That's the whole setup. One card. Five pain points you're listening for. One price line you can say without flinching. One handoff line that gets them to the demo. Get that card right before you ever pick up the phone, and the rest of the call gets a lot easier. Every successful Eden OS call moves through the same seven stages in the same order. And if you jump ahead, pitching before you've asked anything, or closing before the prospect has told you why they want to, the call stalls. When a call goes badly, you can almost always trace it back to a stage you skip. Those seven stages are connect, permission, discover, position, handle, close, and confirm. And we're going to walk through each one. Stage one is connect, and it happens in the first 4 or 5 seconds. You have about 4 seconds before a stranger decides whether you're worth listening to, so don't waste them on a long introduction. The opener has 3 parts. Your full name and company, because people who hide that get screened. A reason for the call, in plain words, and a question that hands the conversation back to them. It sounds something like this: Hi, is this Mike? Mike, this is Dan with Eden OS. I'll be quick. We work with plumbing companies on calls that go unanswered when every truck's out on a job. Is that something you're dealing with over there? Swap the middle line for whatever fits the business you're calling. HVAC, a salon, a medical office, a roofing crew. But keep that same shape, name, company, one plain reason, one question. And know what kills a call in those first 5 seconds. I've been in with, how are you doing today, from a total stranger. Because every cold caller says that and everyone recognizes it instantly. A long company introduction before they know why you called, sounding uncertain or apologetic about calling at all, and talking for more than about 15 seconds before you ask them anything. Stage two is permission, and it runs maybe 15 seconds. Asking for time isn't weakness, it actually flips the dynamic, because once they grant you something, they're slightly invested in what you do with it. The line is simple: do you have 60 seconds? If it's not relevant, I'll get off the phone and I won't call you again. And you have to mean the second half. If you say you'll go away and then keep talking anyway, you've told them everything they need to know about you. Stage three is discover, and this is where deals actually get made, and where new reps rush past, straight to the pitch. There are 4 question types, and you ask them in order. Don't skip to the 4th. First, situation questions. How they're handling things right now. Facts, no judgment. How are you handling calls right now when everyone's on a job? Second, problem questions. What's actually not working? In their words, not yours. What's the most frustrating part of that? Third, implication questions. What it costs them to leave it alone? What does that end up costing you? Time, money, or customers? And 4th, need payoff questions. Getting them to say the value out loud themselves. If every one of those calls got answered and booked on the first ring, what would that be worth to you? And here's the single most important rule in the whole manual. Never tell a customer they have a problem. Ask questions until they tell you. A problem you name is an argument. A problem they name is a reason to buy. Stage 4 is position, and it only takes 30 to 60 seconds, because now, and only now, do you actually talk about Eden OS. 2 rules govern it. Reference what they actually said back to you. You mentioned you're still catching those calls off a ladder. That's exactly the part Adam takes off your plate, and say less than you want to. Every extra feature you list is one more thing for them to object to. You don't need to explain the whole product on a cold call. You need one sentence that ties Adam or Eve to the one thing they just told you was broken. Stage 5 is handle, and it runs as needed, however long a prospect needs it to run. It's covered in full later in this book, but the universal shape is 4 moves. Acknowledge. Repeat it back without arguing. Makes sense. Fair enough. Isolate, find the real reason underneath the surface objection. Can I ask, is that about the cost, or is it more the timing? Reframe. Answer the real concern, not the one they led with. And re-ask. Ask for the same small step again, the free demo. Never a bigger ask. You're never asking anyone to buy $25,000 a month on a cold call. You are only ever asking them to hear their own phones answer. Stage 6 is close, and it should take about 30 seconds. Ask a direct question and then stop talking. Most lost deals are lost simply because the rep never actually asks, or asks and then talks straight over the answer. Would it make sense to put a demo number in your company's name so you can hear Adam answer a call like one of your own customers would? No cost. 15 minutes? Then stop. Let the silence sit there until they answer it. Stage 7 is confirm, and it's your last 30 seconds on the call. Don't hang up without doing all 4 things. Repeat the day, date, and time out loud. Confirm the best number and email. Tell them exactly what happens next and who will contact them, including that the demo number and instructions come from EdenOS, and that they can look up the published price and the offer for themselves anytime at stayelite.com, and thank them by name. Now, how does this 7-stage flow relate to the 5-phase question-led method taught elsewhere in this book? It is an arrival approach. It's the call floor translation of it. That method groups a call into 5 broader phases. An opening built around staying calm and neutral. A long middle where a sequence of question types does almost all the real work. A short bridge. A tightly scoped presentation. And a close build on direct commitment questions. Line the 2 up and they fit almost exactly. Connect and permission together are that opening phase. Stay unhurried. Stay a little detached. Frame the call as small and low stakes rather than a pitch arriving out of nowhere. Discover is the engagement phase in miniature. The 4 question types compress the same ground the longer method covers in 5. Facts about how things work now. The real problem and its personal costs. A picture of life once it's fixed. The cost of doing nothing. And a final gut check on urgency. Position covers both the bridge and the presentation. Referencing their own words back to them is the bridge. And saying less than you want to is the presentation discipline. Handle lives inside both the engagement and commitment phases. Because objections don't wait for a tidy slot, they show up whenever resistance peaks, often right as you're asking for the close. And close and confirm with the commitment phase and its aftermath. Ask, stop talking, and let real silence do the work. Tone carries all of this. Stay curious through connect and the early discover questions. Slow, unhurried, genuinely interested, not reciting a script. Let a little concern into your voice once you're asking about impact. A flat, has that had an impact on you, lands nothing. But the same words said, like you actually care, land completely differently. When you reframe an objection, you can afford to be a shade firmer, especially when you're pointing at what happens if nothing changes. And on every important question, especially the close end on a downswing, a calm statement, not a hopeful question trailing upward and begging for a yes. Think of the 7 stages as the beats you actually run on the phone, and the 5-phase method as the reasoning underneath why each beat exists in the first place. Most of the calls you actually connect on are not going to be answered by the owner. They're going to be answered by someone else first, a receptionist, an office manager, whoever sits closest to the phone. That is not a wall standing between you and the sale. It's just a normal part of the call, and it has its own technique. So let's talk about how to work it well. Start with the mindset, because it changes everything else. The person picking up that phone is a professional. Part of her job, literally part of what she's graded on, is filtering calls so she protects her boss's time, letting the important ones through and blocking the noise. So your job is not to trick her or slip past her. Your job is to make it easy for her to look at this call honestly and decide, on her own, that it belongs on the owner's desk. And remember what you're actually selling here. EdenOS is an AI office that answers calls, books jobs, and follows up around the clock. $25,000 a month. Published price, free demo at stayelite.com. That receptionist is doing by hand a piece of the very job EdenOS does automatically. Keep that in your head, and it'll keep you respectful with her every time. There are four rules, and they're simple. Be transparent. Give your full first and last name and your company name every single time. Reps who try to hide that, who mumble past it hoping to sound like they're not selling anything, are giving off the exact signal that makes the receptionist start screening. Second, never pitch the gatekeeper. She can't buy what you're selling, so pitching her only turns a neutral person into an active blocker. Third, be warm, not slick. Say please, say thank you, use her name if she gives it to you. And fourth, ask and then wait. Ask your question and then be quiet and let her answer. Now here's what we don't do. A lot of what gets taught up there is just deception. Pretending you already know the decision maker. Hiding your company name, punching random extensions hoping to get lucky. And playing someone's expecting your call when they're not. None of that. We don't use any of it for two reasons. First, it burns the account permanently the moment it's discovered. Second, and more important, it directly contradicts what we're selling. We are asking business owners to trust us with their operations, their phones, their bookings, their customers. That trust has to start on the very first call with the person at the front desk. Now, how you actually open with her? There isn't one magic line. There's a toolkit, and you pick based on how she sounds. A straightforward version is just your name, your company, and a direct ask for whoever handles the relevant area. A softer version flips the dynamic and makes her the expert. You tell her you're not even sure who to ask for, and ask her to point you in the right direction. That disarms people fast. There's the honest version, where you just name the cold call before she can. Full transparency, this is a cold call, 30 seconds to explain why, and she decides if it's worth passing along. There's a version that just asks who handles the role, scheduling, operations, follow-up, without asking for a transfer yet. There's the permission version, where you ask if you can share why you're calling, and let her be the judge of whether it's worth the owner's time. There's a version where you basically ask her opinion. You know this better than I would. Is this handled by the owner directly or someone else? If she sounds relaxed, there's real value in just being a human being with her for 10 seconds first. Ask how her Monday's going, actually listen, and then ease into your name and your question. There's a version built around your niche. We work with businesses like theirs on a specific outcome. Who's the right person for a short conversation about that? And two lower pressure versions that don't even ask for a transfer. One just asks for the best time to catch the decision maker. And the other, only when it's actually true. References a note you already sent and says you're following up like you promised. A transfer isn't the only win on this call. If you can't get through today, the person you're talking to is the best free information you're going to get in that building. You can ask who actually makes this kind of call, the owner, or someone in operations. You can ask if it's handled in-house or by an outside company, and whether you've even reached the right location. You can ask about access, the best time of day to catch the decision maker, whether they prefer a call or an email, whether there's a direct line instead of the main number. You can quietly qualify the business, roughly how many people they have out in the field, whether they're doing a particular process manually or with a system, whether anyone's called about this before. And you can build an ally, get her name and use it for the rest of the call. Ask her how she'd get 5 minutes with the owner if she were you. Ask whether it's better to call back or send something over first. Then there are the blocks, and almost every one of them has a calm answer. When she asks what this is regarding, that's just standard screening, not hostility. Give her a one-line outcome, admit you're not sure yet if it's a fit, and ask if the owner's the right person. If she asks whether he's expecting your call, she's testing whether you lied. Just tell the truth. No, this is a first outreach. and ask whether it's better to go through her or try him directly. We're not interested is often just reflex, and she may not even have the authority to say it. Ask gently whether that's company policy or the owner's call to make. If she tells you to email info at that inbox is a graveyard, says say you're happy to, and ask who to address it to by name so it doesn't get lost. They're in a meeting, might be true, or might be a brush off, either way. Just ask for a better window, morning or afternoon. If she offers to take a message, it likely won't get past the long. So say you'd rather catch him live and ask what time tomorrow gives you the best shot. We already have a vendor, might be real, or might be a brush off. Say you're glad to hear it, that you're not there to replace anyone. Most of what you do sits alongside what they already run. And ask if it's still worth a quick word or truly locked in. If she accuses you of just trying to sell something, own it. Honestly, yes. Eventually you'd like their business, but today you just want to find out if it's even a fit, and if it's not, you'll say so and stop calling. If she asks how you got the number, it's almost always just mild suspicion. Tell her the truth, their website or a public listing, nothing sneaky. If she asks who you're with again, she's just verifying you're real. Repeat your name and company, offer to spell it. If he flatly doesn't take cold calls, respect that immediately and ask how he does prefer to hear about something like this. If she says put it in the mail, that's a soft no, take it and ask who to address it to and what they'd want to see. If you get silence or get transferred without a word, that's actually neutral. You're through, so don't add anything. Just wait for the pickup and start clean. And if she comes back after checking and says he's not available, just ask if there's a better time or whether you should try later in the week. One more thing worth knowing. The objection library's gatekeeper scenario is basically this whole chapter acted out in miniature. The opening line in that scenario, wondering if she could help you out for a moment, is the exact help me out opener from this chapter. The reason she's given for the call, hidden gaps and how incoming calls get handled when everyone's out on jobs, is a live example of answering what is this regarding the right way. And when the gatekeeper pushes back hard, the recovery line, apologizing, then pointing straight at the problem eating OS fixes, is the four rules in action under real pressure, warm, transparent, no pitch aimed at her, and a fast, respectful pivot, back to asking for the transfer. This is a part of the manual you will lean on every single day. So let's slow down and get the shape of it right before we look at any examples. Almost everything a customer says back to you, whether it sounds friendly or hostile or bored, breaks down into the same four moves. And if you learn the shape, you can handle things that aren't written down anywhere in this book. Step one is acknowledge. You repeat what they said back to them without arguing. Something like, fair enough, or that makes sense, or I hear that a lot. Three words is plenty. And here's the part people mess up constantly. Never follow it with the word but. The second you say but, you've told them the acknowledgement was fake. Step two is isolate, and this is the step new reps skip, which is exactly why it's the most important one. You ask one question that finds the real reason behind what they just said. Something like, can I ask, is that about the cost or is it about the timing? People rarely object to the thing they say out loud. They object to something underneath it. And your job is to find out what that is before you respond to anything. Step three is reframe. Now that you actually know the real concern, you answer that, not the surface words they led with. Keep it short. And step four is re-ask. You ask for the exact same small thing you asked for before you got the objection. Not a bigger ask, and just as important, not a smaller one either. Shrinking your ask tells the customer you've already given up on them. One more piece of the shape before we get into example. There are two different kinds of pushback, and they need two different speeds. Blocking objections show up in the first 10 seconds of the call. These are reflexes. The person hasn't heard your offer yet, so they're not rejecting it. They're rejecting being interrupted. Handle those fast and light with one quick question, nothing heavier. Real objections come later after they've actually engaged. And those reflect genuine concerns about money, or trust, or timing, or fit. Those get the full four-step treatment. If you run the heavy four-step version on a reflex objection in the first 10 seconds, You will sound like you're arguing with someone who hasn't even heard your pitch yet. Now the printed chapter has the complete list of everything customers say. Well over 100 variations across 10 different categories. I'm going to walk you through one example from each category here, just to show you the pattern in action, but you'll want the full written reference on hand for the rest. Start with the reflexive brush-offs, the stuff people say in the first 10 seconds before they know anything about you. Someone says, "I'm not interested." That's said before they've heard a word of your pitch. It's pure reflex. You say something like, "Totally fair, most people say that before they know what it's about." 20 seconds and you can tell me it's a no. Sound okay? Light, quick, no argument. Move into money and price. Someone says that's too expensive. Here's the key thing to remember about price objections. They almost never mean the number itself is too high. They usually mean the person doesn't yet see enough value to justify any number at all. So you isolate. I hear that. When you say expensive, is that compared to what you're spending now? Or compared to doing nothing at all? That question alone tells you which conversation you're actually in. Next, timing and stalls. Someone says, "Let me think about it." A stall isn't a no, but it also isn't a yes, and accepting a vague one is the worst thing you can do with your time. So you say, "Of course, just so I know what to send over, what part you're thinking about. Usually it's price, timing, or whether it'll actually work." You're not letting the stall stay vague. You're turning into either a real date or an honest no, and both of those are useful to you. Then there's authority, figuring out who actually decides. Someone says, "I need to talk to my partner." Sometimes that's completely real, especially in a small business. You say, "Absolutely, that's how it should work. What do you think they'll want to know?" "I'd rather help you answer that than have you go in cold." You're not trying to get around them. You're trying to help them win the internal conversation. Trust and skepticism is its own category, and it matters a lot if you're calling from somewhere unfamiliar to the person on the other end. Someone says, "This sounds like a scam." The right instinct here is never defensiveness. It's over-disclosure, because scammers volunteer nothing. You say, "I understand why you did say that. There's a lot of it going around. I'm not going to ask you for a payment, a card number, or any account information on this call. If I ever do, hang up on me." That kind of specificity is what actually calms someone down. Next, the incumbent. When someone already has a provider, they say, "We already have someone." The one rule here is never attack the current provider, because criticizing their choice just tells them they were stupid. And people defend their own decisions harder than they defend any vendor. Instead, you ask about the relationship. Good, that tells me you take it seriously. What's working well with them? And is there anything you wish were different? The gap surfaces on their own if you just ask. Then there's the no need category, the status quo objection, which is genuinely the hardest one, because the customer isn't wrong from where they're standing. Someone says, "We don't need that." You can't argue someone into needing something. You can only ask questions until they notice the gap themselves, or you accept there isn't one and move on. Both are fine outcomes. So you say you might not, plenty of companies don't. "Can I ask one question and then I'll know for sure?" And then you ask the specific discovery question for that business. Technology and AI objections come up constantly if what you're selling involves automation. Someone says, "I don't trust AI." The fear underneath that is almost always about control, or about losing the human touch, or about looking foolish for trusting something they don't understand. So you address the fear, not the technology. That's fair, and honestly, I'd rather you be skeptical than not. What specifically worries you? Accuracy, or the idea of something running without you watching it? Hostile and difficult calls need their own rules entirely, because you're not trying to win those calls. That call is already over. There are four rules that match their energy. Lower your volume instead of raising it. Don't defend yourself or your company. There's no winning that exchange. Give them a clean exit and take it. And remember, you are always allowed to end the call. Nobody will ever criticize you for hanging up on abuse. If someone's yelling or cursing at you, you say, "I can hear I've caught you at a bad time. I'm going to let you go. Sorry to have bothered you." And then you end the call. No arguing back. No repeated apologizing. The hard-to-read customer is its own trap, because these calls feel harmless, but they quietly eat your whole day. Someone says, sure, sounds good, but there's no energy behind it at all. That's usually a soft no dressed up as a yes. You say, I'll take that as a maybe rather than a yes. What's the part you're not sold on? You're forcing a real answer instead of letting a fake yes sit in your pipeline for 3 weeks. And finally, buying signals. The moment things are actually going well, which new reps miss constantly because they keep pitching past it. Someone asks, can I see it? That's a strong signal. The single most expensive mistake in phone sales is continuing to sell after the customer has already decided to buy. So the second you hear a signal like that, you stop talking about the product and start talking about logistics. You say, absolutely, I've got Thursday at 2 or Friday at 10. Which is better? You ask for the business. That's the shape of the whole chapter. Run through all 10 categories in miniature. Again, the printed chapter had the complete list of everything customers say, well over 100 entries with the exact wording for each one. And that's the version you want next to you between calls, not this one. This is just enough to show you that no matter how strange the sense sounds coming through the headset, it's almost always one of these 10 shapes wearing a different outfit. Acknowledge it, isolate the real concern, reframe around that concern, and ask again for the exact same small thing you asked for the first time. Every one of these types is going to pick up the phone somewhere on your call list this week. The roofer in his truck, the salon owner at the front desk, the plumber between jobs, the medical office manager with three lines ringing. You can't see any of them, you have to classify them by sound. Within about 15 seconds, you should know who you're talking to, because each type needs a different version of you. Whether you're opening the call, working through an objection, or walking them toward the free Eden OS demo. First, a quick note on how we do this. We don't train reps to change their script based on whether a man or a woman picks up. It isn't a reliable predictor of anything, and leaning on it just makes for worse calls, because now you're responding to a category instead of a person. What actually predicts how a call goes is mood and communication style. And unlike gender, age, or anything else you might guess at, you can actually hear both of those in the first few seconds of someone's voice. Let's start with mood, because mood is what you're dealing with right now on this call, and it can flip halfway through. If someone sounds rushed, clipped words, background noise, like they're walking somewhere, match their pace exactly. Cut all the pleasantries. Ask one question, get your answer, get off the phone. They will respect you for it, and they'll often take your call back later. If someone sounds flat, tired, going through the motions, slow yourself down. Be warm, but don't be chirpy about it. Forced cheerfulness against the flat boys just grates on people. Something like, sounds like it's been a long one, I'll be quick, goes a long way. If someone sounds irritated, short and sharp with you, lower your volume, don't speed up, and don't get defensive. Offer them a way out. Sounds like bad timing, when should I try back? More often than not, they'll actually tell you a real time. If someone sounds friendly, chatty, relaxed, cracking jokes, take the extra 30 seconds, get their name, let them talk. This is where the best conversations on your whole shift happen. Just don't get so comfortable that you forget to actually ask for anything. If someone sounds guarded, suspicious, interrogating you about who you are, over-disclose everything. Your full name, your company, your website, exactly why you're calling. Suspicion comes from callers who hide things. Be the one who does it. And if someone sounds engaged, asking you questions, leaning into the conversation, stop pitching. Start asking. They are doing your job for you at that point. Get out of the way and let them talk themselves into it. Now, mood is temporary. It can change by the next call, or even in the middle of this one. Type is different. Type is how a person is wired, and it holds across the whole relationship, call after call. The first type is the bulldozer. They interrupt, they decide fast, they hate small talk, and they can come across rude even though they usually don't mean to. Get to the point in one sentence. Be direct. Give them numbers, not adjectives. Let them lead the conversation. Don't warm up slowly. Don't hedge. Don't over-explain. And don't keep asking permission to continue. close to bulldozer with a direct ask, something like, sir, do you want to do this or not? They'll actually appreciate the bluntness. The second type is the analyst. They're precise, they ask detailed questions, they want specifics, and vagueness makes them uncomfortable. Give them exact figures. If you don't know something, admit it and offer to find out. Send documentation when you can. Don't exaggerate, don't guess at numbers, and don't reach for hype language. One bluff, and you're done with this person forever. Close an analyst with a next step that involves information like, let me send you the specifics and we'll talk Thursday. The third type is the relator. They're friendly, they ask about you, they tell stories, and they avoid conflict at almost any cost. Invest in the conversation, use their name. Remember details and bring them up on the next call. Don't rush them and don't mistake friendliness for commitment. This type will almost never tell you no directly, they'll just go quiet. Close a relator with a soft but explicit ask, I've enjoyed this. Be straight with me. Is this something you'd actually want to do? The fourth type is the skeptic. They challenge your claims, they ask how you got their number, and they assume there's a catch somewhere. Agree with their skepticism. Volunteer your own limitations before they find them. Be boringly, plainly honest. Don't get defensive, don't oversell, and don't push back hard. That only confirms every suspicion they already had. Close a skeptic with proof and a low-risk next step. Don't take my word for it. Talk to one of our customers first. The fifth type is the ghost. They're agreeable, non-committal. They'll say, sure, sounds good, and then you never hear from them again. Force a real answer while you're still on the call. Make it easy for them to say no. Get a specific date. Not sometime. Don't leave that call feeling good about a vague yes. That call was already a loss. You just don't know it yet. Close the ghost with, I'd rather have a real no than a maybe, which is it. The sixth type is the veteran. They've been in business 30 years. They've heard every pitch that's ever been made, and they're mildly amused by you. Respect the experience out loud. Ask them about their business. They'll tell you, and it's usually genuinely useful information. Don't try to teach them their own industry, and don't reach for jargon to sound impressive. Close a veteran with deference. You know this better than I do. Is there anything here worth your time, or am I off base? Last piece of this chapter, not every prospect is worth pursuing. And learning to disqualify us is just as valuable as learning to close. A pipeline full of bad prospects is worse than an empty one, because it feels like work while it produces absolutely nothing. Here's what a good prospect sounds like. They describe a specific problem without you having to drag it out of them. They ask about timeline setup, what's actually required. They offer to put you in touch with someone else inside the business. They give you a real, specific callback time. They push back with detailed, real objections instead of vague ones. They tell you what actually went wrong with the previous vendor. They have budget authority or clear access to whoever does. And they answer your discovery questions in full sentences. Here's what a bad prospect sounds like, and it's basically the mirror image. They can't name one single thing they'd want improved. They only ever ask about price and nothing else. They won't tell you who actually makes the decision. Every deferral is vague, call me sometime, and never a real date. They agree with everything you say and commit to nothing. They badmouth every vendor they've ever worked with, not just one. You repeatedly can't get them to the actual decision maker. And after multiple attempts, you're still getting one-word answers. Disqualifying somebody is not failing. A fast, clean no is worth more to you than a slow maybe, because it frees up your hours for someone who might actually buy. When you're sure it's not a fit, say so. And move on, and be honest about why. That's the call they'll remember later when their situation actually changes. Let's talk about closing. The close is not some trick you pull out at the end of the call. It's the natural result of doing your discovery properly earlier in the call. If you did that work, this part is short and it's easy. Here's the one rule, and it matters more than any clever line you'll ever learn. Ask a direct question, then stop talking. Completely. New reps ask for the business, and then, because the silence terrifies them, They immediately start talking again, and they talk the customer right out of the yes they were about to give. That silence feels like a full minute to you. To the person on the other end, it's about 4 seconds. Sit in it. Let them be the next voice you hear. Now, 6 ways to actually close. Think of these as different tools for different moments, not a script you run through in order. The first is the direct ask. This works best with pushy, confident prospects and with anyone who's already been engaged to the call. You just say it plainly based on everything we've talked about. Let's get you set up. Sound good? Confidence carries that one. The second is the alternative choice. This removes the yes or no decision entirely because both options you offer end in a close. Would Tuesday morning or Thursday afternoon work better? Either answer books the appointment. The third is the assumptive close. You move straight into logistics as if the decision's already made. Great, I'll get that scheduled. What's the best number to confirm on? This one needs real momentum behind it. Use it too early in the call and it comes across as obnoxious. The fourth is the summary close. You stack their own words back at them, then ask. This works especially well on analytical, detail-oriented prospects. You remind them what they told you about their problem, what they said their goal was, what mattered most to them. And then you say, that's exactly what this handles. Let's move forward. Does that work? The fifth is urgency, and this only works when the urgency is real. If you manufacture a deadline and they catch you at it, you lose everything. Not just the close, the whole relationship. So only use a real one. I can hold these terms through Friday. After that, it changes. Want me to lock it in? And the sixth is the trial close. But when a full close just isn't ready yet. It's a small commitment that keeps the deal alive instead of losing it outright. Let's not commit to anything today. Can I get 15 minutes on your calendar to walk through it properly? Now here's how all six of those map onto an actual E-NOS call. Every single one of them on this floor is aimed at the same target, booking the free 15-minute demo, never the $25,000 a month purchase itself. That substitution is what makes the close honest. You are never talking anyone into the big number. You're only ever talking them into a look. The direct ask becomes stating the demo offer clean. 15 minutes, no charge, Thursday at 2 and then going quiet. The alternative choice becomes never asking if, only asking this afternoon or tomorrow morning at 11. The assumptive close becomes asking who should be on the demo, just the owner or the office manager too, which treats the demo as already booked. The summary close means stacking the value points. Add them answering calls around the clock, booking jobs, chasing leads, and all of it free to see before you ever ask for the slot. Urgency only ever means a real hold on terms, never an invented countdown. And the trial close is your fallback on almost every stall you'll hear. Let's not commit to anything, just 15 minutes to look. The demo itself, dressed up as a small ask instead of a big decision. Underneath all six of these sits one belief worth carrying into every single call. A prospect who already buys trucks, software, and insurance is a proven yes there. Not an obstacle you have to get past. Acknowledge the objection instead of arguing with it. Ask again when the first no isn't really a final no. And treat the close as logic stacked on top of a relationship you've already built. Never is pressure applied to a stranger. Before you get to any close, use trial closes to test the water. These are low-risk questions you drop in mid-call to find out where you stand before you make the real ask, and they save you from closing too early. How does that sound so far? Does that solve the problem you described? Is there anything about that you don't like? If we could handle that concern, would you want to move forward? And a scale question. On a 1 to 10, where are you on this? Followed by, what would make it a 9? Now, what happens after they say yes? The sale is not done the moment they agree. It's done when the details are locked down. So before you hang up, do every one of these out loud. Confirm the specifics. Repeat the day, the date, the time, and make them say it back to you. Get the contact details, the best phone number and email, and have them spell it back. Set expectations. Tell them who's going to contact them, when, and what they need to have ready. Ask if anything's unclear. Anything else you want to know before we get going? and thank them by name. Then get off the phone. Do not keep selling after you've already gotten the yes. Last piece. When they say no, how you handle a no determines whether you ever get a second chance with that person. And it's worth remembering that most deals that eventually close were a no at some point along the way. First, accept it gracefully. Arguing after a clear no destroys any future opportunity you might have had. Then ask one honest question, just so I learn something. What made it a no? A lot of people will actually tell you, and it's often the most valuable feedback you'll get all week. Then ask whether the door is closed for good or just for now. Is this a never or a not right now? And finally, thank them for their time, genuinely mean it, log it accurately, and move on to the next call. Let's talk about what happens after you hang up, because that's where most reps quietly lose the deal. Start with voicemail. Most voicemails get deleted before they even finish playing, so a good one is short, under 20 seconds, and it gives the person a reason to call you back instead of trying to tell your whole story. Time yourself the first few times you leave one, because 20 seconds goes by faster than you think. Say your phone number twice, slowly, once near the beginning and once at the end, because nobody rewinds a voicemail to catch a number they missed. Never pitch in a voicemail. You're not selling anything in that message, you're just giving them one specific relevant reason to pick up the phone next time. And here's the counterintuitive part. Give them permission not to call you back. Something like, if that's not something you're dealing with, no need to call back. It sounds like it would hurt your numbers, but it does the opposite, because it makes you sound like a real person respecting their time instead of a machine leaving the same message on 80 voicemails a day. And don't leave more than 2 or 3 voicemails over the course of a campaign. Past that point, you've stopped being persistent and started being a nuisance, and that's a different reputation entirely. Here's what that sounds like for EdenOS specifically. You'd say something like, this is your name with EdenOS. Here's your number. I'm calling because we've got an AI office assistant named Adam who answers and books calls for you, and I think it could save you some headaches. If that's not something you're dealing with, no need to call back. If it is, check us out at stayelite.com or call me back at your number. Thanks. Two things matter there. First, stayelite.com gives them somewhere to go, even if they never call you back at all. A curious prospect can find their own way to the demo booking page without you lifting a finger. Say the website slowly and clearly, the same way you say your phone number, because it's an unusual name, and they need to actually catch it. Stayelite, all one word, .com. Second, never say the words free demo in a voicemail. Save that for when you've actually got them on the phone, where you can hand off properly and answer whatever what's the catch question comes up in real time. The voicemail's only job is to earn you a callback or a website visit. Everything else, the price, whether they need Adam or Eve, the demo itself, that all happens once they're actually talking to a human being. Now, the callback system. Here's the truth that surprises a lot of new reps. The people who hit their numbers month after month are almost never the ones with the flashiest pitch. They're the ones who follow up exactly when they said they would. That's it. That's most of the job. So walk through how that actually works situation by situation. If someone gave you a specific time to call back, call at that exact time, not 10 minutes late. That alone puts you ahead of almost every other caller they'll ever deal with, because almost nobody actually does it. If they told you to call back next quarter, log the date and call in the first week of that quarter. And when you do, reference your previous conversation by name and by detail so they know you actually remembered them. If they said call after the holidays, don't call the first week of January, because that's when everyone else calls too and you'll be buried in a pile of other callbacks. Call the second week instead. If there's a contract renewal date on file, call 60 days before it, not after. After is too late. The decision's already been made. If you get no answer and can't leave a voicemail, try a different time of day next time. Some people are morning people, some are afternoon people, so rotate through a few windows before you give up on a prospect. And if you get a clear no, take them off your active list and do not keep calling. It costs you nothing to respect that, and it costs you a lot. Reputation, goodwill, sometimes even a referral down the line, if you don't. Last thing, this one matters more than people think. The notes you write down after every single call. Your memory is not going to survive 80 calls in a day. It just isn't. So the second you hang up, while it's still fresh, log a few specific things. Write down their name and the gatekeeper's name too, because that gatekeeper is someone you'll probably talk to again. Write down exactly what they said their problem was, in their own words, not your summary of it, because their exact phrasing is what you'll use to open the next conversation. Write down any objection they raised and how they raised it. Was it dismissive? Was it curious? Was it a real concern? Write down the specific next step and day you agreed to, because that's the whole callback system depending on you actually having it written down. And if they offered you one personal detail, something small, write that down too, because bringing it up on the second call makes you sound like someone who actually listened. And that alone makes the next conversation 10 times warmer than it would otherwise be. Let's talk about compliance and about protecting yourself. This is the one part of the manual that isn't a suggestion. Breaking these rules can create real legal exposure for Stay Elite and for EdenOS, and it can cost you your job. So if you are ever unsure about anything in this section, stop and ask your supervisor before you make the next call. Nobody's going to be annoyed with you for asking. They will be a lot more annoyed if you guess wrong. Start with the absolute rules. The ones that apply no matter what campaign you're on or what state you're calling into. First, honor removal requests instantly. The moment someone asks to be taken off your list, they are off your list. Not after one more sentence. Not after you finish your thought, immediately and permanently. Second, never lie about recording. If someone asks whether the call is being recorded, tell them the truth. If your campaign requires you to disclose that up front, disclose it right at the start of the call, every time, no exception. Third, never misrepresent who you are. Use your real full name and say plainly that you're calling from Stay Elite about EdenOS. Don't invent an American-sounding name. Don't hide behind a big company reference, and never ever tell someone you are Adam or Eve or any part of the EdenOS system yourself. You are the human being who picked up the phone to book a demo. Say so. Fourth, never collect sensitive information on a cold call. You are not taking credit card numbers, bank account details, or passwords over the phone during a prospecting call. If a prospect tries to hand that over anyway, redirect them to the proper process instead of taking it down yourself. Fifth, never promise what you can't deliver. If you don't know the answer to something, the correct answer is, I don't know, let me find out, not a guess. A made-up answer always comes back around, and when it does, it doesn't just kill the one deal, it damages the company's name. That rule applies just as much to EdenOS itself. Only make the claims that are on the approved sheet. Eden does digital office work, answering calls, following up, booking jobs through Adam and Eve. It does not do physical work. It does not guarantee a revenue number, and you never invent a customer account to sound more impressive. Sixth, respect calling hours and frequency limits. Calling someone over and over, or hanging up and redialing, or calling at hours that aren't reasonable, that's harassment, no matter what your intent was. And seventh, when in doubt, stop. The rules on calling hours, consent, recording, and do not call lists are different from state to state and country to country, and they change over time. This manual is training material. It is not legal advice. Always follow the specific written rules your compliance lead gives you for the campaign you're on, and if you hit a situation those rules don't cover, stop and ask rather than guessing your way through it. Now, on top of those absolute rules, there are 8 floor rules that are specific to selling EdenOS. Every rep signs off on all 8 before they ever put on a headset, and every certification includes a quiz on them. Rule 1, tell the truth about AI. You are a human caller, and you say so. Eden's agents. Adam and Eve disclose that they're AI whenever anyone asks them directly, and you never claim otherwise on their behalf. And you never present the demo line as if a human is going to answer it. Rule 2. Honor every do not call request instantly. The same as the absolute rule above. One take me off your list ends the call politely, gets law of that same minute, and there are no redials. Ever. Rule 3. Disclose recording where it's required, following the rules of whatever state you're dialing into, and when you're not sure, disclose anyway. Rule 4. No fake claim. Stick to the approved sheet. Eden does digital office work, never physical work, never a guaranteed revenue promise, never an invented customer count. Rule 5. The price is not moved. You never discount it, you never hint that there's room to negotiate, and you never quote onboarding as one fixed number because onboarding is priced per company. Eden OS is published at $25,000 a month. You state that plainly and you move on. No flinching, no apologizing. Rule 6. Stay lighter than the prospect. Whatever tone they bring to the call, your tone stays calm, positive, and unhurried. If they get angry, you do not get angry back. You either end that call politely, or you don't end it at all in a way that reflects poorly on the company. Rule 7. Respect calling hours, and respect the person on the other end of the line. Only dial within the legal calling window for their time zone, and if an owner is genuinely busy, you schedule a real callback instead of pushing through. And Rule 8, log every call before you make the next one. Outcome, objection, callback, commitment, all of it. A call that isn't live might as well not have happened, and a callback you promised and then missed is a broken promise from the whole company, not just from you. Last part of this chapter is about protecting yourself, and this matters just as much as anything else we've covered. The company's position here is not ambiguous. You may end any call where you are being abused, harassed, or insulted. You do not need anyone's permission to do that, and you will never be questioned for doing it. Nobody has the right to demean you for your accent, your name, or where you happen to be calling from. If that happens, ending the call is the right move. It is not a failure on your part, and it is not something that goes against you. When it happens, report it to your supervisor the same day. That's not about getting you in trouble. It's so the company can track patterns and flag numbers that need to be flagged. And if someone ever threatens you personally on a call, end it right away, log what happened, and tell a supervisor immediately, no delay. One more thing, and it's a small one, but it matters. Take your breaks. Rejection adds up over the course of a shift, and a rep who never steps away from the headset starts to sound bitter by around call 40. Taking care of yourself on the floor is part of doing this job well, not a distraction from it. Let's talk about practice, and then about the one page you'll keep taped next to your monitor for the rest of your time on the floor. Do these drills with a partner before you ever go live, and come back to them every month after that. Reading this manual will not make you good on the phone. Saying the words out loud, badly, 40 times in a row is what makes you good on the phone. There's no shortcut around repetition. Start with the opener, cold. Stand up. Say your opener out loud 20 times without looking at anything, no notes, no script in front of you. Have your partner interrupt you at random points by asking, "What is this about?" Keep going anyway. The goal isn't to give a perfect answer to the interruption. The goal is for your opener to survive being interrupted at all, because on a real call it will be. Next is the gatekeeper gauntlet. Your partner plays the front desk and switches to a different gatekeeper style each time you run it. Your job is to get to a named decision maker, or at minimum, lock in a specific callback time. Run through all 14 gatekeeper blocks from earlier in the manual. Don't skip to ones that feel repetitive. That repetition is the whole point. Third is discovery only. Set a timer for 10 minutes and have a conversation where you are completely forbidden from describing your product. Not a sentence, not a feature, nothing. You may only ask questions. Most reps find this drill genuinely difficult, and that difficulty is the lesson. It shows you exactly how much you've been leaning on talking instead of listening. Fourth is objection rapid fire. Your partner reads objections in random order, and you have to respond within 3 seconds each time. Don't aim for a polished, perfectly worded answer here. Aim for not freezing. Run 20 of them back to back. Fifth is the silence drill. Ask for the business, then go completely silent for a full 10 seconds. Have your partner time it on a clock. Almost every new rep physically cannot sit in that silence at first. They'll rush to fill it. Practice this one until you can hold the quiet without flinching. Sixth is the hostile call. Your partner is rude, dismissive, and keeps interrupting you. Your only job is to exit the call gracefully within 30 seconds, without arguing back and without apologizing more than once. Then, and this is the real drill, immediately dial the next call with completely normal, upbeat energy. That reset, going from a bad call straight into a fresh one with no residue, is the actual skill being trained here. Seventh is recording review. Record yourself on a real call with whatever disclosure is legally required where you're dialing. Listen back to it the next day and just count how many seconds did you talk versus how many seconds did they talk. If you talked more than the prospect did, that is the single most important thing to fix before you touch anything else. Now, on top of those seven, there are six drills built specifically around the EdenOS script, and you run these on certification day, right on top of the base drills, not instead of them. The first is the cold open. You get 12 seconds from hello. The instructor plays a distracted plumbing owner his between jobs. You passive, you stay calm and detach. Land the status frame and earn the right to ask your first question. No pitching, no rushing. The second is the gatekeeper gate. An office manager answers and tells you the owner is out on the roof. A peer plays their protective gatekeeper. You pass if you stay low-key, never lie about who you are, and walk away with the name and a real callback window log. The third is the question ladder. The owner admits they miss some calls after hours. A peer plays an owner who answers only exactly what's asked, nothing more. You need to go five questions deep, all the way to consequence. What happens if nothing changes? Before you say a single word about Eden, and hit that downswing tone on the key question. The fourth is the software wall. The owner said they already have Service Titan. The instructor plays a proud, invested software owner. You pass by agreeing first, then asking who actually sits at that screen at 9 at night, and reclosing on the demo without ever bashing the competitor. The fifth is the price flinch. The owner heard the number from somewhere. 25 grand a month. A peer plays that sticker shocked owner. You pass by stating the price plainly, never discounting it, never apologizing for it, reframing it against the loaded cost of a desk employee who sleeps at night, and then asking for the demo, because the demo itself costs nothing to hear. And the sixth is the five asks gauntlet. You're up against a polite serial refuser. Every single answer is a soft no. The instructor plays that not right now, owner. You pass by finding five genuinely distinct closes, agreeing before every one of them, keeping your tone lighter than theirs the whole way through, never repeating yourself, and never arguing. Now for the quick reference card itself. Print it. Keep it where you can see it while you dial. The seven stages of a call, in order, connect, permission, discover, position, handle, close, confirm. The objection formula in order, acknowledge, isolate, reframe, and then re-ask that same small thing again. The four discovery questions you always have in your pocket. How are you handling this area right now? What's the most frustrating part of that? What does that end up costing you? And if that were fixed, what would it be worth? Your universal escape hatches. For when a call goes sideways, can I ask, is that about this or more about that? Fair enough. One question and then I'll let you go. Is that a never or a not right now? And I'd rather have a real no than a maybe. The five things you can never do under any circumstance. Lie about who you are or who you work for. Ignore a removal request. Keep selling after a clear no. Promise something you can't actually deliver, and absorb abuse just to keep a call alive. Most of your calls will end in nothing. That's the job. It isn't a verdict on you. Dial the next one. And finally, the Eden quick facts to keep on that same card. The price is $25,000 a month. Publish, non-negotiable. You never discount it, and you never apologize for it. The tagline, Eve picks up, Adam follows up. One schedule, one customer history, and both of them always disclose their AI whenever they're asked. Your close is the demo, never the $25,000 itself. Here your phone's answered. A demo number goes live in their own company's name, and they get to call it like one of their own customers would. And the website to hand off, once and only once, that demo is booked, is stayelite.com.